I want to look at the statement that is made in the verse 14, where, speaking of Lydia, we read that her whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. It may not seem to be such a momentous thing, but the events that we have read of in this chapter were truly a turning point in the history of the cause of the gospel upon the earth. In those verses that we drew attention to in our Bible reading, where Paul was exercised in his own heart as to where he should go and preach, how the Lord closed down those opportunities that presented themselves to him, the Lord was working and preparing the apostle's heart to take a very momentous step as far as the history of the Church of Christ is concerned. When Paul responded to that Macedonian call in the vision that was given to him, and in going to Philippi, he crossed the continental divide into Europe. And in this chapter we have the first time the gospel of Christ was preached in the continent of Europe. Lydia holds the distinction as being the first recorded convert in the continent of Europe. What great things God was to go on to do in that continent that even to this day, despite the apostasy and the decline and the awful advance of sin and wickedness, even to this day there is a remnant that can trace their spiritual heritage back to this meeting in Philippi. What wonderful things turn on very small events. What a small hinge is seen here, and yet what events turn upon it as Paul, in one more step in his missionary journey, steps over the continental divide into a new continent for God and begins a new era in the Church of Christ. Now, while there were undoubtedly many new things about this experience, yet, as we read the words, it is refreshing and comforting to our hearts to see that there are things that didn't change. The continental divide, whatever changes that brought on the ground as far as Paul and his evangelistic labors were concerned, that divide did not change the need of men's hearts. It didn't change the power of God to meet the needs of men's hearts. It didn't hinder in any way the power and the working of God through the gospel to touch and change the hearts and lives of sinners. As we look at this statement that is made of Lydia, we are reminded again not only of the power of God in the gospel, but what it actually means to be a child of God. We are reminded here of what it means to be truly a Christian. As I was thinking of these words, I was reminded of something that our brother Steve said in his word that he spoke in our special constitution service. I don't think he'll mind me referring back to it. Where he spoke of his own testimony. Where for many years he had all kinds of religious experience, but he hadn't felt the touch of God. Here is what it means to be a real Christian. It is to feel, as Lydia felt, the touch of God upon the heart that opens the heart. This is God's work in salvation. And this is what we want to think of simply and briefly this evening. I want you just to see, first of all, that as we consider these words, it becomes obvious that here is a woman and her heart was closed against the message that Paul preached. Her heart was closed. That's an obvious inference from what we read here. If God came down and opened her heart, it is evident that up until that point in time, her heart was closed. Her heart was closed to the message particularly that Paul was preaching on this occasion. Now, what did Paul preach? Well, we have an indication, a very clear indication, of what he preached on this occasion. If we go back to the verse 10, and we have already read the words in our public reading, but let's just look at the statement there. Having seen the vision, having pressed upon him that vision of a man of Macedonia in verse 9, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. He's going now to Macedonia. His travels to that region are going to take him to the chief city in that part of the world. It seems to him a good place to start. If God has called me to Macedonia, well, where better to start than in the chief city of Macedonia? He's going there at the call of God. What did God send him to do? Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, convinced, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's what Paul was going to do. He was absolutely convinced in his heart that there was nothing else that could help. According to verse 9, that's what he was required to do. Go help us. Go help those in Macedonia. There was nothing else that could help the poor, needy souls in Macedonia but the preaching of the gospel. He was convinced of it. Now, just a few days pass. He's traveling, and before him is the call of God. The Lord has said, go to Macedonia. It's going to take him some days to get there. And we have his journey traced for us in the verse 11 and 12. It would seem even from the language that he gets there as fast as he possibly can. He's driven by this vision, by this call from God to preach the gospel. Then when we get to verse 14, we read about the things which were spoken of Paul. Well, what did he speak? He spoke what he was sent to speak. He preached the gospel of Christ. We hardly need to take the time tonight to elaborate upon Paul's ministry and those many references that he gives us through the epistles, where time and time again he repudiates everything else. And sets all philosophy and wisdom and knowledge aside, and all the learning of Greek culture and all the other things that many were crying out for, and he preached Christ and Christ crucified. That's the gospel. He preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of God's justifying grace through faith in what Christ has finished at Calvary. That's what he preached. This is the message that he preached. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul's message was. Now, it's just the good news of salvation. It's just that glad message from heaven that God saves sinners. But Lydia's heart was closed to it. Now, there you have the tragic reality of the state of the sinner's heart. Their heart is closed, tight, to the good news that Jesus saves. Here's Paul the Apostle, a man of eloquence, a man of power, a man of learning, a man of ability. He's preaching Christ, and Lydia's heart is closed up tight. Sometimes we speak, perhaps when we're addressing children, on spiritual matters, we'll speak about the door of the heart. And there is that hymn, the chorus of it, that says, throw the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Lydia's heart's door was closed. That's the tragic reality. The state of the sinner's heart closed fast against the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the exercise of his saving power. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to have a closed heart? It simply means that the understanding, the mind, the will, the desires, the affections are all closed up to exclude Christ. Lydia didn't understand the gospel. Her heart was closed. Her understanding was sealed up as far as the understanding of the gospel was concerned. Her mind was closed against it. We know, we use that expression, that sort of terminology. Someone who has a closed mind, someone who has an open mind. Someone whose mind is closed, they don't want to hear, they don't want to think. There are certain thoughts they want to keep out. Don't want to even let them in upon them.
here, Lydia. Her heart is closed. She doesn't want to think about certain things. Her mind, her understanding, her will, her affections. Christ and His gospel has not been admitted to the affections of her heart. We speak about opening our heart to someone. We have the idea of confiding in them, trusting them. In certain contexts, we have the idea of expressing love to them and of opening our heart to receive love from them. Lydia's heart was closed. There was no flow of love between her and the Lord. Though Paul spoke of Christ and His gospel, her heart was closed. She didn't know the truth. She hadn't felt the power of the truth in a deep heart fashion, for her heart was shut up against Christ and against the truth. Now this is somewhat surprising in Lydia's case. It's a surprising reality. It's the way things were. As Paul was preaching to her, her heart was closed. The Lord had to open it. But she had a closed heart. Even though she is described in this verse as a worshipper of God. You see that? A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She worshipped God. Now there's a remarkable thing. She is a worshipper of God, but her heart is closed. Her heart is hard. Her heart is shut fast against Christ. She worships God, but her heart is shut up to the gospel. Now she had enough interest in the things of God. She lived a life that would have been called devout. She may have been called pious. She may have been moral and upright in her life and in her conduct. She's a worshiper of God. She's like Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 2. He's described there as a devout man. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He's a devout man, but he's not saved. Because in the vision that of the angel that speaks to him, he is instructed to send for Peter and to hear from him words whereby he would be saved. Cornelius is an unsaved man. He's devout. He's religious. He's a worshipper of God. He is a man who is described as devout here or pious. And yet he's still unsaved. Go back another page or two in the Acts of the Apostles to chapter 8. The verse 27. We read there of the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip went to meet in the wilderness of Gaza. He, that's Philip, arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for a worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Think about that. He's worshipped God. He's now reading his Bible. But he's not saved. I know he's not saved because he asks Philip about Christ in a fashion that shows us he's ignorant about Christ. He comes to faith in the Savior as Philip preaches Christ to him. But at this point he has worshipped. You think of the journey that was necessary from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to come to worship. And this man did it. But he wasn't saved. That's a surprising thing. Something else about Lydia. She was found in the place of prayer. This gathering where she was present now, at this particular point in time, Paul is addressing them. It's the place of prayer. She was found in a place where it was customary, or as it's put here, where prayer was wont to be made. She was ready to attend this place, a place of prayer. That was its reputation. This gathering that she attended, that's what it was known for. We're going to pray. She attended it even though it was held out on the riverside. I don't know whether that was an attractive location or not. But that's where she went to. That's where the people met.
She would have admitted the necessity for prayer. She obviously had some idea of God and the fact that we pray to Him. Perhaps she even engaged in prayer, but her heart was closed. She wasn't saved. Something else. Look at again at the verse 15. She worshipped God. She heard us. She listened. She listened to Paul preach. Her heart was closed, but she listened. Here she is sitting, listening to the Apostle Paul. She had some interest, evidently, in what he had to say. There was some appeal to her in the words and the message that he presented. Enough appeal in it to keep her sitting there. But her heart was closed. Her heart was not right. You know, as you think of these things, it becomes obvious that having such interest in the things of God as Lydia had, she's at the place of prayer, she's listening to the preaching, she's a worshipper of God. She has been engaging in these practices long enough to have the character reference that is given here as a worshipper. She's doing all this. You can have all that and still not be right with God. You can pray. You can listen to the preaching. You can be known as a worshipper of God. And your heart not be right. There are many who know the reality of that. Sitting in church. Church membership. Participating in external religious activities. And not saved. Only coming later to realize, you know, I never was saved. Here's Lydia. Her heart's closed, even though she's doing all these things. These things in and of themselves are not necessarily the evidence of having a heart relationship with God. Oh yes, the Christian will pray. The Christian will be a worshipper of God. The Christian will be one who listens to and hears the preaching of God's word. But those things do not necessarily make one a Christian. Here was a woman. She had all this, but her heart was closed. Now let's move on to the second thing and just ask a question. Why? Why was her heart in this condition, even though she prays, she worships, she listens to the preaching? Why was her heart in this state? Well, I think that we can suggest a number of reasons or answers to that particular question. Her heart is in this closed condition because that's the natural state of every heart. That's where we all begin. That's our own natural state. Our hearts are closed up against God. It is the presence of sin that closes the heart. Or to use different language to express the same thing, that hardens the heart. Makes the heart impervious to God. It's our depraved, sinful, wicked nature that closes the heart up like a flint against God. You will know of that description of the human heart that is given in the book of Ezekiel in the chapter 36. And God is speaking there through the prophet to the nation of Israel. Even in Ezekiel's day, nominally religious. They had the outward forms of religion. Even though they had fallen and were now captives in the land of Babylon, they would have been known, they still had the reputation as being the worshippers of God. But they weren't right with God. Their hearts were hard. And the prophet here is speaking wonderful words of promise. A promise that is yet to be fulfilled. Verse 24 is a word that is at this present time being fulfilled. It has been being fulfilled now for 50 years or thereabouts. Verse 24, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land." That's what God has been doing for the nation of Israel. Verse 25, "Then, when the nation is back in the land, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart, the rocky heart out of you, out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now there in the Old Testament is what happened to Lydia. Slightly different terminology, but the very same experience. God took away the rocky heart, and he gave a heart that was soft, a heart that was open, a heart that was impressionable, a heart that was ready to receive and to embrace the truth. The heart of stone is taken away. But this is the human heart. It was Lydia's heart, it was Israel's heart, it's every sinner's heart before God by nature. We have a heart that is closed, fast against truth. But then, why was her heart in this condition? Yes, because that was the natural condition of, this is the natural state of the sinner. But let me suggest something else. Her heart was in this condition because participation in the external elements of religion cannot change the heart. She had all the religion, but her heart was still the same. Her heart was not softened. Her heart was not changed, because those things in and of themselves do not change the heart. You can come to the prayer meeting. You can pray in the prayer meeting. But that'll not save you. That'll not make you a Christian. You can worship God after a fashion. You can listen to the preaching of God's word, even preaching like Paul's, and still have a heart like Lydia. Because those things in and of themselves cannot and do not give the new heart. They are necessary. God will work as he did here. And we shall see in a moment or two, he works through these things. But you need to distinguish between the external elements of religion and the power of God that changes the heart. They're two different things. Lydia had the external elements. It was all she had. And because that's all she had at this point, her heart is still closed to God and to his Christ. There's something else that is suggested in the verse 14. And I only offer this as a suggestion. At least it's a suggestion as far as Lydia is concerned, but it's a truth, it's a fact as far as many others are concerned. It may well be that the reference to her background and her business forms another reason why her heart was still closed to Christ and the gospel. Why are we told she was a seller of purple? What relevance is there in that little piece of information, if not at least to suggest to us that here is a wealthy woman trading in fine clothes in the most expensive of materials, suggesting to us perhaps that she was in her own right a wealthy woman? Certainly there are impressions given in the chapter that would indicate that, having her own house, having sufficient room in that house to bring the apostles and his whole party in, would suggest that she had a large enough house to do that. And it would seem that there is a reference here to her business, perhaps to her wealth, just to cause us to think. Her heart is hard. Her heart is closed. She has religion, but she hasn't Christ. And whether or not this is specifically true of Lydia, it's true in many cases that the cares of wealth and riches and the burdens of business harden many men's hearts. Harden their hearts against the gospel, almost making them impervious to the truth of Christ. You remember in the parable, for instance, in Matthew 13, in the verse 22 of that chapter, where the Lord is speaking of the sowing of the good seed of the word, and how it falls down into different kinds of ground, representing the different responses, the different states of heart that are to be found among men. And he that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Now that's what Lydia did. She heard the word. And I think it's fair to say she'd heard it before. She's coming continually to the place of prayer. She's known as a worshipper of God. The worship of God in those times especially involved the reading of God's word and the hearing of his word. He that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It has no effect. Her heart is closed. Maybe because of the deceitfulness of riches. Maybe because of the influence of money and of business in her life. Maybe she was like that man we've referred to before, the rich young ruler. And you know the story, how he came. And the Lord Jesus said, we read these words indeed last Lord's Day evening. And he spoke of how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And maybe this reference to her business is just given to suggest to us this idea. Because of that business, because of that wealth, her heart was closed. How many rich men and women are content to dabble with religion, but never close with Christ. Content to hear the word. Content to attend among the worshippers of God. And yet because of their business, the heart is closed, fast against Christ. But let me suggest a fourth reason why her heart was in this condition. And here is, without doubt, the greatest and the most important of the reasons. Her heart was still closed at this point in time, in spite of all she had by way of religion and all the rest of it. Her heart was still closed because none but God can open the heart. That's why her heart was still in this condition. None but God can open the heart. She had had no experience of God doing a work of grace in her heart until this point. And unless and until the sinner has that experience, their heart will remain closed. Because nothing else and no one else can open the heart but the Lord. Lydia's heart is closed even as Paul preached. Even though she has attended the place of prayer. Even though she's a worshipper of God. Her heart is closed because she has not yet experienced the touch, the almighty touch of the hand of God. Here's what it boils down to. That if you do not have the experience of God coming to deal with your heart on a personal level, it doesn't matter what you have. You haven't salvation. It doesn't matter what you have, what you've done, where you've been, how you are looked upon, what your reputation is in the religious community. That doesn't matter unless God has opened your heart. And it's an experience that can't be mistaken. Unless God has touched your heart and opened it, your heart is still closed. Because nothing else can affect that change. Absolutely nothing. Nothing can substitute for the work of God in saving the sinner. Absolutely nothing. Said of the apostles in Acts chapter 11 and the verse 21 that as they traveled preaching the Lord Jesus, preaching the gospel, we read this, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Over again, there are references that are similar to that. The book of Gospel of Mark closes, the Lord working with them. If the Lord doesn't work, preaching can't change the heart. Praying can't change the heart. None of these things can change anything unless God moves. But you see, in Lydia's case, God did work. And we're going to close just by looking at the work that God did in her heart. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God worked a marvelous change in this woman. He touched her heart. And in touching her heart, he touched her whole being. He touched her whole person. He changed what she was.
From head to toe, from inside to outside, he changed her by touching her heart. The work is described here as the opening of the heart, whose heart the Lord opened. The word translated opened here has, or attended rather, that's where we need to come to, is the word attended. The evidence of the opening of the heart. Here is the change that was effected in her life. God opened her heart and she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. Now that word literally means to turn to something. It's a word that's used of, in navigational terms, of bringing the ship into shore. Sometimes it's used with the idea of turning one's mind to something to give attention to it, as it is here. But there is the turning of the mind that is in view. Her heart was turned. Her mind was turned to embrace the truth that Paul was speaking. You'll see that it is the message that she turned to. She attended unto the things or the words which were spoken by Paul. That's what she turned to. That's what she steered towards. That's what she fixed her mind and her heart upon. When God touched her heart, she embraced the word. She embraced the message. Now this, you see, goes much further than merely hearing. We've already seen she heard the word, but now she's turning to the word. She has had Christ set before her. And when God opens her heart, what happens? She steers toward him. Like a ship heading for harbor, she steers for Christ. She brings her mind and fastens it upon him. Her heart reaches out to embrace him. You don't need me to tell you that here is the working of faith and repentance. What is faith and repentance? It's turning from sin to Christ. She turns. God touches her heart. He opens her heart. But she turns. She attends to the word, to the things, and preeminently to the person revealed in the things that were spoken of Paul. That's the change God makes in the heart. That's the opening of the heart. Here it is, set before us. God opens her heart. What does she do? She turns to the word. She gives attention to it. Before, she had heard it. But now she attends to it. Verse 15. She was baptized. It appears that she lost no time in beginning her life of obedience to the word. Here is the first command that she submits to and that she begins to obey in her life. She was baptized and her household. She begins a life of obedience. Now it's the mark of an open heart. It's obedience to the commands of the Lord. Then in the verse 15, there is a remarkable statement there. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. That's a remarkable statement. Here is a newborn Christian. The Lord has just opened her heart. And already she has a new standard that she wants to be evaluated by. For all we know, up until this point in time, she wanted to be known as Lydia, the seller of purple. Lydia, the businesswoman. Lydia, the wealthy woman. But now, she's saying to Paul, Paul, I want to be measured by a different standard. And if you judge me, or if you evaluate, if you measure me now being faithful to the Lord, that's the standard she's going to live by. Then come into my house. I want you to measure me by that rule. The Lord opens her heart and she wants to live now by a new rule. Faithfulness to the Lord. Is that how you're living? Is that how you want to be measured by? Oh, I know. Such is the working of the flesh within us all. We'd like to be thought of as respectable. We'd like to be thought of as this or that or the other thing. But do we want to be known as one who is faithful to the Lord? Above everything else, here's the mark of a heart that God has touched. Paul, I want to be measured. Just Measure me by this rule. Examine my life. What you know of me, am I faithful to the Lord? Then you'll see her enthusiasm and her zeal for the things of God coming out in other areas as well. Look at how in verse 15, when in her dealings with Paul and his companions, the ministers of Christ, she says she besought them and then she constrained them to come to her house. She wanted to use her home as a platform for the work of Christ and for the advance of the gospel. It was a matter of some importance to her. She beseeches the apostle. She constrains him. She presses him. God opens her heart. And she no longer has a mere professional relationship with the church, no longer a merely professional, moral, pious relationship with the things of God. No, her heart's in it now. Paul, will you come home? Will you bring your whole entourage home? Stay with me. Use my house in the advance of the kingdom of God. It's interesting that at the conclusion of the chapter, there's another reference to Lydia's house. In the meanwhile, Paul has been arrested and imprisoned along with Silas. They have paid the price for public identity with Christ. Lydia had some of that reproach to bear as well, no doubt. In verse 40, Paul and Silas are released. They went out of prison. Where did they go? Entered into the house of Lydia. There's still a welcome for them there. They're now jailbirds. They're now those who are publicly, have been publicly humiliated because of their identity with Christ and their preaching of the gospel. And there's still room in Lydia's house for them. Here is a love then for the cause of Christ and the preaching of the gospel that stands up against the test of reproach and of opposition and the fires of trial. She brings her household under the influence of the Word of God by bringing the preachers of Christ home. It's obvious too that she has a concern for her household. In the verse 15, she was baptized and her household. Without getting off the track altogether on the subjects of baptism, at least her household was baptized. Whether as the pedo-baptist believed that involved infants or not, or whether as the believer's baptist believes it just involved adult believers, we don't know. But her household was baptized. At the very least we can say, here's a woman who wanted to bring the gospel home. Who wanted to have her home, her heart, her house ruled according to the Word of God. That's the mark of an open heart. It is the product then of God opening her heart that she shows such attention to the gospel of Christ. There is a work of such magnitude here. There's a change of nature in view. A work of tremendous proportions. Nothing but the touch of God, the Creator's hand, can change the human heart to such a degree as to bring about this kind of change in the heart of the sinner as was wrought in the heart of Lydia. The Lord effects that change, as is obvious here, under the preaching of His Word. It's how, it's when God works. It's as Christ is preached. Yes, God must touch the heart. But God touches the heart through the preaching of His Word, under the ministry of the gospel. When the sinner comes into the environment where Christ is preached, he comes into the place where God touches hearts. He comes into the place where he can cry, or she, since we're considering a woman here, he or she can cry, Lord, I'm in the place where you touch hearts. Lord, I need a new heart. I need my heart opened. I need to be saved. Only God can do it, but Lord, I am here now under your word. This is where you say you touch hearts. Lord, touch me. What comfort. What encouragement there is for the sinner to approach God in that fashion as the word is preached. Lydia, the seller of purple, with a closed heart, came into the meeting with a heart that was closed, left with a heart that is open. left with a heart rejoicing in Christ and in His Word and in His ways in a very real way. She came without Christ. She took Christ home with her. When she took Christ home in her heart, when she took the preachers of the gospel home, she took Christ home. She took His Word home. That's what God can do when He opens the heart. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father and loving gracious God.